This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Okay, this is Mary Grady from AvWeb, and today we're talking with Doug McNair. He's with EAA down in their DC office, and he's working on a lot of issues down there. But what we're going to talk about today is what's going on with the Large Aircraft Security Program. And why exactly EAA, who we might not think of as a large aircraft organization, is concerned about this, and what exactly Doug is doing to act on those concerns. So, Doug, could you tell us a little bit about how this program affects the GA segment?
Certainly, Mary. The TSA's Large Aircraft Security Program is geared toward aircraft, privately owned aircraft, 12,500 pounds and above. And while that may seem that it doesn't fit into the typical profile for an EAA member, it very much affects our Warbird constituents and EAA's Warbird of America, who have aircraft clearly over 12,500 pounds. But more importantly, it's a reflection of the fact that we don't believe that the 12,500-pound line in the sand is a hard line. And we fear that over time that weight will be pushed down ever lower as threats are perceived. Right now, TSA has tried to hold it to 12,500 pounds and above because they cite what they had done as a throw weight study, which would have indicated the destructive capability of an aircraft used in a type of 9/11 style attack. We don't necessarily agree that that 12,500 pounds reflects a good line in the sand. In fact, I think we are unanimous with our other association brethren, with GAMA and NBAA and AOPA and others, in believing that that line should be closer to 100,000 pounds, not 12,500. But TSA then goes on and cites other things, threats from what or who the aircraft might be carrying, besides the obvious 9/11 attack that might involve things like chemical, biological, nuclear, and so forth, threats. And if that is in fact the case, then we at EAA don't believe for a moment that the 12,500 pounds is a sacrosanct limit. There's no reason that that weight wouldn't be pushed forward if that is indeed what TSA and the Department of Homeland Security are worried about. Therefore, this rule really is the camel's nose under the tent and could affect potentially all of general aviation going forward. But I think most importantly, Mary, this rule for the first time crosses the line between commercial and private operators. And for the very first time, you have the federal government approving when you as a private citizen in your own personal conveyance can travel or not. Each time you want to get an aircraft and go somewhere, you have to ask the federal government's permission and get that permission before you can go. That is a tremendous shift in government policy and how we treat our citizens to travel domestically in this country.
Okay, and is this something where pilots would also see differences, changes at their local airport as far as infrastructure that would have to be in place for these new practices to be put in practice?
There are a group of several hundred airports the TSA has cited that would be required to have additional security procedures on the airport, and that would include security procedures at the FBOs, by the airport itself. The airport would be required to have a security plan and interface with their local law enforcement, all of which carries cost burden for the airport operator, which clearly, even in good financial times, would be passed on to the pilot or the aircraft owner on the airport or who is transiently operating through the airport. So there's something of an unfunded mandate here in the sense that airports will incur costs and they don't have the money to pay for it, so it will be passed on to the consumer, our members.
Okay, and this is now an NPRM that's been put out by the TSA. So what is the process from here? What's going to happen?
Well, comments close on February 27th, and we are certainly encouraging everyone to submit comments to the docket and let the TSA know how they feel about it. Of course, the TSA held 5 public hearings, which were very well attended, several hundred people in attendance at each, and you can certainly say that the view of the public in attendance was unanimously against the proposal. But we are asking all of our members and any concerned person to write to the docket and also to contact their congressman and senator Because frankly, right now we are not getting a lot of support from Capitol Hill on this because of the perception that this only affects corporate aircraft and large aircraft. And frankly, those aren't real popular if you've been watching the news lately. So we're really encouraging our members to try to explain the importance of this thing and how invasive it is into personal liberties and the use of their own personal aircraft and how it will affect them. And explain that to their congressmen and senators so that hopefully we can generate some interest and concern on the Hill because, frankly, I think absent that, we're going to have a real uphill battle with TSA and DHS.
Okay, and we will have links on our website on avweb.com for anyone who wants to find that docket or find the text of the NPRM. And can you tell us a little bit more about exactly how, if this did come to pass, how it would affect your Warbird programs?
Yes, it really affects us in two ways. One, it affects our members who operate large Warbird aircraft in the sense that they would have to actually have a security plan that was vetted and approved by the TSA. They would have to have a security officer, someone on the ground who would be the contact person. Each of the flight crew people members would be required to have security background checks. And anybody they flew in the aircraft with them, even if they were family and friends and known associates, would have to be checked each time they went flying against the watch list the TSA holds. That would be at cost. TSA isn't offering to do this for free. They're, in fact, mandating that this would be done by third-party vendors. So each time you do this, you're going to have to pay a fee. And then further, your security plan would have to be audited on a biennial basis, again, by a third-party auditor at your cost. So you can see it just goes on and on and on, and the impacts will be felt every time you fly. And, of course, you will also have the requirements to maintain and approve these security programs themselves. So it's going to be not just an expense but a thorn in the side of everybody who operates. The second component of that, of course, is that EAA itself is an operator of large warbirds. We fly our B-17 on the national tour, and we carry passengers. That's an instance where we, in fact, operate in a quasi-commercial sense because we are carrying passengers for compensation or hire. And so, therefore, we ourselves will have to undertake this program for everybody we would conceivably carry on that aircraft, which are many thousands per year. So the impact is significant not just on our members, but also on us as a business and an association.
Okay, thanks. This has been Mary Grady from AvWeb talking with Doug McNair, the Vice President of Government Relations for EAA in Washington, D.C., about the impact on GA of the TSA's proposed large aircraft security program.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.